something had me not choose to get married. And it really was the exploration of vulnerability that was the shift for me. We all have feelings. We all need to let our stress out, right? And our feelings and release that, or we pop. I bring communities of women together and they get to see that they aren't doing it alone. It was really rooted in, I thought it was a fat girl who wasn't pretty and had to outsmart, outfunny, out-earn everyone so I could be worthy to be your friend or have love. We have created a culture where our value is placed in our work. And our worthiness is in our work versus our being.
Guys, and welcome back to the I Love Success podcast. I am super excited. My virtual world tour is continuing. This year has been very interesting in many ways, and we have to adapt and overcome. And today I have a guest. We are almost neighbors. Her name is Amber J. Lawson. She's in Venice. She's a master mindset coach for those who want to level up joy, happiness, and to live on purpose with love and abundance. And I'm a big fan of that. So I'm super excited for today's conversation. And before we get started, I just want to read something that Amber J. wrote. And it actually connected me with her, and it was so real and raw. So I'm going to share that with you guys now, and then we get started. I was living in Los Angeles, making good money and surrounded by great friends, but something was missing. I didn't realize the basic life skills I relied on were rooted in masculine energy. I had created a need to project an aura of strength and stability, but inside I felt lonely and isolated, making it difficult to trust or lean on others. Not being able to relax, release, or even cry left me feeling like a pressure cooker ready to pop. And with that being said, I think we are going to have an incredible conversation today. So let's welcome Amber J.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Peter, for having me on and exploring these topics and conversations.
Awesome. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that masculine, feminine energy. And can you just share a little bit from yourself and how you became this masculine force that had good results, but didn't feel good?
Yes. Thank you. So I found myself doing it like a man. I was in boardrooms. I was the only woman. I was on panels, traveling around the world. It was an exciting life, and I wanted success. And the people that were around me that were successful were men. So I was emulating their behaviors in order to create success. And guess what? It worked, right? It did work. But there is something, first of all, we both, you know, men and women or whatever physical body you're in, we both embody the masculine and feminine, right? And we tip both ways. The feminine receives, the masculine is pointed and penetrating, is on purpose. The feminine is flow, is ease, is rounded corners and receiving. And so it was modeled to me to create success. I got to do it a certain way. But then, you know, I felt like something was missing, like you spoke into that. That is my true story. Something was not aligning. In fact, I had been engaged 3 times and something had me not choose to get married. And it really was the exploration of vulnerability that was the shift for me.
Yeah. And can we just, I mean, thank you for sharing this. And I think it's so interesting because we have a set way that we believe is going to give us success. And I mean, my goal is to redefine success, because I do believe it's different for every human being. We just need to find it and listen to that voice. But what was the feeling? Can we try to tap into that feeling that you were successful, but you didn't feel fulfillment and happiness? Like, can you describe that a little bit more?
Yeah, it's abject fear. It's survival. It's grasp. It's white knuckles. It is visceral in the fear of being found out. And always, one of the biggest lessons, and I'm sure we'll talk about this experience in my life, but when I was an executive at AOL, was I was doing it all by myself. And I was afraid to ask for support in fear of being found out, in like that I would be revealed as a fraud and then it would all poof go away. And it was painful. It was sad. I leaned into vices like drinking and not sleeping, and I gained weight and I was depressed. I didn't know I was depressed. I loved my job, but I was surviving, and it's lonely. And I find that today, you know, a lot of people I meet and run across are just trying to hold on. Yeah. And for what, you know, at what cost?
Yeah, the whole society is, there's a lot of pressure of doing more, making more money, being better. And I think we need, like I usually say, grow or die. And I agree, we need to grow as human beings, but it doesn't mean that we need to do more or be better. We can grow in different ways and different stages of our lives. And what good does it mean if you have the best job in the world, but you're like, your relationships and your friendships are in shambles? And the opposite, if you're just hanging around smoking weed in Venice all day, that might be awesome, but maybe you want to do something that feels good for the world as well, right?
I believe we are in a great pause. This is an opportunity to check our values and what matters to us and to go inward. Because you can't go outward right now. There's just no more outward to go. And how we have operated no longer works. It frankly, in a lot of areas, no longer exists. And we get to shift. And I believe our currency moving forward is going to be our hearts, is our community, is our connection, is our families, is the people that we choose to spend our time with, and more of a barter system and we exchange value together as opposed to hoard money and abundance and things.
It's crazy because like I'm a martial artist, but I am also a fighter. So I competed for many years, and you know, having that male perspective, like, hey, I'm an alpha male. I'm not going to show any weakness. This is who I am. I'm never tired. I'm never hurt. Like that also sucks, you know?
Yeah.
So I can take it from a male perspective. I can also realize that now I'm more open to showing vulnerability and also those feminine elements in my life. And it also makes me happier than just trying to like be a machine or like heartless that I did for several years as a fighter because I didn't want to show weakness.
And I think it's the same thing. And I'm curious what shifted in you. Was it a moment or was did someone open up a space for you? When did you shift out of like, because I think that's so damaging and hurtful, and we all have feelings. We all need to let our stress out, right? And our feelings and release that or we pop.
Yeah. I mean, I think it comes with confidence, and confidence that it's okay to lose. It's okay to be fearful, but you do it anyway. So I think in the beginning, it's almost like a dog that is afraid. It will start barking and doing it. But like someone that's more confident, just be calm and just relax and see what's going on and know that performance is not going to be affected. If you're totally in tune with yourself, and I talk about this a lot, I used to be two-faced, you know, and I know a lot of people are that as well. You show up in the world as this super confident guy or girl, and you have your shit together and all of that. But when you go back home, you lack confidence. You don't like what you're doing. You don't like yourself. And you have this constant inner battle, which hurts you as a human being. And then a lot of people, and what happened for me is that I realized I needed to work on that because I wanted to be loved. I wanted to love people. And once I started working on that, and now I can say I'm pretty much aligned, and I'm so happy because I can say I'm sad today. I can say that, and I don't care if you think that I'm weak because I know I'm strong. But I want to talk about that journey and how we can help the listeners today to kind of go after that, because it is scary and it is also hard when you live in a world, if you are an executive or what type of world you're living in, right?
Well, it takes courage. What you're speaking about, like, I acknowledge you for your courage in going on that journey and creating that alignment, because I think that's where true happiness lives. Is when we are fully self-expressed. And it was the same for me. Vulnerability, I would rather experience physical pain than the possibility of someone seeing my true self and then not accepting it. Like, that's like, that was death to me. And I didn't know it. Like, it's a thing that I think a lot of people don't know and don't have access to. I come from Raytown, Missouri. I come from an Italian family. Like, we would all, my entire family would get together on Sunday after church and eat and, you know, talk about who brought the wrong casserole to church versus our feelings. Like, my uncle hated his job. He was killing himself with booze and died in his sleep. You know, it's, there are real physical issues, you know, that when we do not release the fuse, it's what creates shootings. It's what creates Karens. It's what create, you know, it's where we pop up. We have no place to let our valve release. Like, Hope for the Day is a suicide prevention organization based out of Chicago. They use an analogy of a soda can, right? And, or a, like a bottle, like one of those Coke bottles, right? Where you, so, you know, you can sit there and be fine, but you shake it up a little, like you get rattled over here, you get rattled over here. And all of a sudden, if you don't release a little of that tension, that soda, it's going to pop off like a Mentos, you know, like explode. So how do we get to release steam, release stress, release our feelings, acknowledge our feelings, create a safe space for ourselves where we can release the lid a little?
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about, I want to go a little bit deep and heart to heart. Like, when did you hit rock bottom? Was it in a corporate setting or a room? Like, do you recall that moment when you were like, I've had enough and I need to fucking change?
Yes. So I have two points that were major shifts in my life. The first was when I was running all the content at AOL. And I was flying back and forth between New York and LA. And I flew in, it was Super Bowl Sunday, I remember it. I had been advising Tim Armstrong, the CEO, to purchase Huffington Post. And they made a deal at the Super Bowl. So I walked into the office Monday morning not being part of it, kind of being cut out of it, and arriving to the office with Arianna Huffington in my role. It was a public failure. You know, I got kind of dethroned, and it was mortifying because I didn't do anything wrong. I had nothing to blame it on except myself, right? Like, if my performance wasn't failing, then what was it about me that had this happen? And it spiraled me down. And I ended up going to Mexico to San Miguel de Allende and starting to build my way back into my purpose, leveraging my talents and building my own business, which ultimately became Good Amplified. So using this ninja skills I had in the online space to support nonprofits, to amplify the good that they were doing. But the most recent turn in what my passion and purpose is at this point in my life happened four years ago. I was living with my ex-fiance a year after we had broken up.
Oh, wow.
And I had guilt because I was concerned that he would commit suicide if I left. And so I put my life on hold in order to hold all the weight. And I finally stepped away. I was able to move to Venice. That was my move to Venice. And started to rebuild what connection, vulnerability, deep relationship could look like for me. And in the process of that, I discovered my lack of vulnerability. Like, vulnerability was I equated vulnerability as a weakness. That was like, don't even go there. It's not a part of my world at all. But I stepped into a leadership program and found out that that was between me and success. It was between me and love. It was between me and why I never chose to commit fully. And I started peeling back the onion, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done. It hurt. I ugly cried.
Why do we never see ugly cries on social media? You know, I took a picture. I ugly cried. It was probably like a half a year when I took a picture of myself. I was like, should I post this? Because everything is just like highlight reels. But then I realized it's ugly.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I still to this day am working on putting out vulnerably and authentically what is happening. You know, it's not always rosy. It's not always successful. I've had a lot of failure from then to now. And we get to show that. One of the biggest things in Goddess Process, which is what came out of this whole journey, is I bring communities of women together and they get to see that they aren't doing it alone. Like what I'm experiencing, most other people are experiencing too. And there's so much freedom in that and permission to not have it together, like in social media, to not be pretty, to not come to calls with your makeup on and your hair did, like I did this morning. Like, you know.
I know. I mean, the thing that I'm, like, when we're talking about this, one thing that I'm starting to kind of realize is that a lot of us human beings, we're living a fake life, putting on a mask because we think that's the way we're supposed to live. and it creates so much unhappiness. And I think the biggest fear, again, goes back to vulnerability, right? If people know who I really am, they're not going to love me anymore. And I mean, do you have any kind of tools that you can help out with? Because I know in that moment when you went to Mexico and you were like dethroned, I'm sure it didn't just turn around in a day. It was probably a process and a hard fucking process, right?
Yes. Brené Brown says the last thing I want to show in you is the first thing I want to see in you. You know, it's our cracks that connect us, that tie us together. And the more we can show them, the deeper our relationships are. And it starts with a commitment. Are you willing to open yourself up to at least one person? Like, is there one person in your life that you would like a deeper relationship with? Start with this person. Yeah. Sit with them. The first step in this is an easy exercise. It does not require anything. Is look eye to eye. Left eye to left eye. And sit there for a minute without looking away. Yeah. And what shows up when you actually see another person, and you can see their pain, you can see their hurt, you have compassion, love flows through. So taking the time to just connect, to see and be seen.
And how do you stay in that moment? Because I know there's a lot of, you know, strong, both women and men that are, they want to build careers, and then they have this mindset. And then you come into a world where there might be a little bit harder environment where you have to, like, you don't have to, but you think you have to do that in order to win. How do you stay on course?
It goes back to this idea of not doing it alone. Find a buddy, find a group, find a podcast, find a Facebook group, find a church group, join Goddess Process, you know, whatever works for you. But A, don't do it alone. Let people know what you're up to. Let them support you in it. You support them. It's so much funner. Is funner a word? It's so much more fun when you do it with others. And you will have highs and lows. Like, it's not always rainbows and unicorns.
What?
I know. Trust me. I live in rainbows and unicorns. But and then I use tools. Like, I use Abraham Hicks. I use guided meditations. I walk on the treadmill. I move my body. I dance. I surround myself with like-minded people. I put myself in, I use expanders. Have you used expanders before?
What is that?
Oh, I know, right? That's a good one. That's a 2B magnetic. She talks about expanders. So people, and they can be people you know, or celebrities, or people who passed on, or whatever, but people who embody what you want to create in the world, whether that's a relationship, whether that's a business, So find someone or several someones. They could be pieces of someone's also. So maybe she uses the example of Oprah, Lincoln, and Richard Branson. And she's like, I love Oprah for her authenticity and her inspiration. I love Richard Branson because he's this international man of mystery who is always playful and fun and ridiculous. And then Lincoln, because he's a trustworthy man of commitment and of revolution and evolution. And so it's taking those pieces of whoever resonates for you, right? Those were just the examples she used. But maybe it's somebody on Instagram. Maybe it's a coach or an inspirational person, or maybe it's a relationship. Maybe they're, I like Chrissy Teigen and John Legend. I think they have the cutest relationship, like that hashtag relationship goals, you know, so expanders, because what it does is it expands your subconscious and moves it into your conscious.
Yeah. And the last question for you, Amber J, is for people that are listening to this that have a dream, a goal that they want to go after, and maybe there's a big change in their life. Like for many of us during this year, it's been a very interesting year in many ways. So what would you tell them? What's the first step they can do to come a little bit closer to going after or taking action on that dream?
Stop doing it alone. I'm going to butcher this quote, but you can go far alone, but you can, I don't know, you go further.
Go fast, go alone,
yeah,
go
yeah,
far.
Yeah,
go,
that yeah, one, that yeah, one, yeah. That one. That's the quote. I'm the worst with quotes, quote. but yeah. It's building teams, and or if you're going through a process, find a community and be supported. It really, we are in the era of community, contribution, coming together, communes. That there is this movement of picking your like-minded people and hunkering down and co-creating together. And it's the way to have the impact and leave the legacy you want to see in the world.
I love that. And that's definitely something that I'm working on getting better at. Amber J, if people want to connect with you, where's the best place to find you?
Amber J. Lawson on every platform. I'm on Instagram, and you can DM me there, or Goddess Process. Goddessprocess.us is the website. And we're opening up Tribe. But I do corporate, interactive, immersive workshops and talks and gatherings. We just did one with the UN that was really impactful, leading from vulnerability. So, you know, what if our world leaders led from vulnerability?
Yeah, love that. Amber J, thank you so much for being here, spending time with me this morning. And I love what you do. I love your mission. Thank you for sharing so open-heartedly.
Thank you. Thank you for creating this space. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody that are still here. We're an hour in, and that's a lot to ask for anybody when it's 2020, right? We have the attention span, most of us, like a goldfish, which I think is somewhere around three to five seconds. So if you're still here, that means that we love you. Yeah, here's some hearts, and I hope you love us too. And we're doing this for you. We're sharing this space in order for you to create a better life, become happier, and I want to hear from you. So if you found value in today's show, please share it with somebody, reach out to me or Amber J, so we can know what you enjoyed, and we that fuels us to move forward and do more as well. You can find me on ilovesuccess.co, or my book, The Goal Book, which is a book about setting goals, on Amazon. Other than that, thank you so much, and talk to you guys soon.